The first time that he really started attacking me was a couple weeks ago when I posted a comment on Facebook. He had made a thread that basically stated that anyone who disagrees with chemtrails is a shill paid government psyop. He sort of explained it away on the show tonight, but my theory, and I stand by my theory 99% sure, I'm almost positive, that instead of all of those planes spraying us with deadly chemicals, they're simply using the modified version of the Winnipeg carburetor, which runs internal combustion engines on nothing more than water vapor and oxygen. And so if the airlines are actually running their engines on water, they're not going to tell us. They'd rather fear porn us, and they'd rather keep selling us gasoline at, you know, $1 to $5 a gallon. So,
well, that also doesn't cover what so many people who track and follow chemtrails are very obviously aware of, and myself included. There's a lot of chemtrails going over, a lot of what looks like planes going over, making zigzags in the sky that is not normal air traffic. And I know this because I live, you know, relatively close to an international airport. It's a joke why they even call it that. I don't know, but Sarasota Bradenton International Airport, you know, it's just a little airport. But the whole idea is that, you know, I know what the air traffic is over my head, over my house. I know what it's like on any given day. I know on this
right, but
day,
does that, no but does that,
on the next day.
I'm sorry, but does that necessarily mean that they're laden with chemicals?
No, of course not. What I'm getting at is it's more than likely just a fear psyop, because it took years for the whole chemtrail thing to kick in. You know, when I first heard about it myself, I was like, oh, those dirty, rotten bastards. And I think that the whole purpose of chemtrails, on top of weather modification, which is a possibility, is nothing more than a fear psyop.
I think it's still very likely geoengineering, but I think they've tried to sort of cover up how big a deal that is by introducing all these other conspiracies into that movement to steer people off to think it's like something much more sinister, when really geoengineering is seriously a problem. But they take the focus off that, you see, I think is maybe one possibility here by making it about this other stuff that sounds much worse.
And Laurie, can I just
say something, because I've been quiet for the past hour.
Yes.
Matthew fell out with me over chemtrails. He was just making stuff up. But I've probably done as much research on chemtrails as anybody else. So, you know, I was looking at this, you know, 5 or 6 years before it became a popular subject. And there's a website in the UK called Chemtrails Project UK. So I'm going to share the screen with you. It'll only take a couple of minutes tops. And I'm just going to show you some of the rainwater test results. And you can see for yourself what the water's like. So I'm sharing the screen. Okay, so we've got the map of Europe. We've got all these places here. And this shows you the percentage of the alleged contaminants in rainwater samples. Okay, so I'll just pick one up here. This is in Scotland. There we go. Aluminium, 20 parts per billion. Barium, under 10 parts per UG, which is a billion. Strontium, under 0.1. Titanium, under 0.1 mg. Manganese, iron, copper, zinc, arsenic, sulfate. These are all sort of at microscopic levels, and they're all well within the water safety limits. So they've done a couple in Europe. You can pick some over the polluted areas, and they're a little bit higher. But generally speaking, everything is well below, you know, 1/10 of the safety levels that are out there. So if they're spraying these chemicals, where are they? They're not showing up in the water results. Now, any of you who are interested in testing the water for yourself, it's an expensive job testing it for all the different things, but what you can get, and you can buy one for about $10, you can buy what's called a TDS. TDS, it's a total dissolved solids meter, and you just dip it in a rainwater sample, and it will tell you what the percentage is, and typically it comes out at something like 8 parts, 8 per million. whereas tap water is as often as much as 400 parts per million. So the tap water is disgusting stuff, you know. And once you've stopped drinking it, I can't touch it now because you can smell the chlorine. It makes me feel sick. So I won't touch the regular tap water. It's pretty disgusting stuff. But the evidence.
They want everybody drinking distilled. You know,
yeah, the evidence shows that chemtrails are not, they're not spraying chemicals. So, I never thought of John's idea of rain, you know, planes running on water, but, you know, something must be making these things. So if it's not a hologram, yeah, it could be water, I suppose, in the planes.
Well, and, you know, here's another thing, too, and you're absolutely right that if you test rainwater, even near very busy airports, it's going to be within the ranges of normal. Now, there was a very misleading documentary that got millions of hits where they were testing actual mud or muck near the airports, where you can test mud or muck in the rainforest that's going to be high in certain things like aluminum. And so it was very misleading, and a lot of people took that and ran with it. But what I'd really like to see, and, you know, not necessarily just rainwater, but I'd like to see someone trail behind, you know, randomly 500 different airliners that have these chemtrails and do sort of a double or triple blind study to really find out what's in the exhaust and end the debate once and for all. And I'm willing to bet, if I was going to bet money on it, I would bet that most of them is just water vapor because the technology's there. Why wouldn't they use it? And instead of coming clean, they'd rather fear porn us with us because they want us in a state of fear. So it works perfectly in so many different ways that if they're not spraying us, hell, like you said, the tap water's bad enough. They don't need to spray us.
Well, there's one other thing I want to talk about, and we only got just a couple of minutes, but I want everybody to you know.
I got to jump in. I didn't get to comment on chemtrails. I'm sorry. Let me just. Well, I kind of did, but like, I need to say another thing before we close that subject. I'm sorry, because I know we got to wrap it up here. The couple things I can say anecdotally, I live in California, and everyone knows we've been through a fairly serious drought where they could have announced it a couple years earlier than when they finally did, right? And now this year, we've finally had some great rain, and what I've noticed that corresponds with that is we were just covered in chemtrails the whole time we were officially in that drought. And I know we're not yet officially out of it, but they've allowed all this rain to happen this year. Now, why I say they allowed it? Okay, now, again, to what extent the chemtrails are involved with geoengineering, I don't know, but we need to understand that weather modification is a real technology that exists, my understanding is, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I've done my own research, too, and I realize there's a lot of information out there. We can't always discern how much of it's real and how much isn't. But from what I know so far, weather modification is a real technology. It was used back in even Vietnam War.
Yep.
And now they agreed, they signed a thing that said they wouldn't use it as a method of warfare anymore between nations. But as far as I understand it, they didn't sign anything saying they couldn't use it in their own countries, you see. And the technology exists to bring rain and to stop rain. So nobody can tell me that this drought was just that simple because, like, they have the technology to stop the drought and they didn't do it. Likewise, that same technology could have created that same drought in the first place. You follow me? And so I think I touched my 2 points that anecdotally, I experienced this cover of constant chemtrails through the drought. And now that it's been rain and plentiful rain compared to last winter, I don't see that kind of chemtrail action anymore. I still see some, but nothing like it was, you know?
Two things real quick. Yeah, they have been doing weather seeding since the 60s. They use aluminum particulates for that. And another thing that they use the same thing for is when, you know, they use the HARP array telescopes, they use aluminum, I think it's called CHUF or something like that, to amplify the signal from these electromagnetic beams or these radio frequency beams. And so there definitely is, you know, there are reasons for them to do that sort of thing. But my argument is that, you know, that it probably doesn't account for 90 to 99% of the, you know, so-called chemtrails when they do have the technology to run internal combustion engines on water. So, you know, I agree with your research. You're spot on. I just don't think that it's 100% all of the chemtrails are doing, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. Well, I think there's technology involved, probably, or at least more than one. Sorry. That's it.
There is weather modification. That's in my opinion, that's been proven because that's been shown, you know, by some of these storms that have been redirected, some of these storms that they could just kill off if they wanted to and they don't. Chaff you're talking about with putting aluminum up in there so that they can say they can, you know, test their radar stuff.
Yep.
At the end of the day, I do believe that it was part and parcel to the demoralization and the psychological terrorism that has kept most Americans and most people that live in countries that have, like UK, that have these terrible chemtrails, you know, in the sky. It's to make you to the point where you're like, man, I give up. If they can, you know, we can't even control the air we breathe. I mean, they so have us here. They just so control everything. And that's exactly what they want you to think. They don't actually have it quite that much in control, because they're not controlling this broadcast right now. And, you know, they're not controlling my mind and they're not controlling you guys' mind. So we're still free to think. And as long as we're still free to think, you know, we should be utilizing that thinking time to question everything. Again, I mean, how many times can you say question everything? Question what we said, start there, and then whatever the rabbit trails take you. But look at some of the research that, you know, Lawrence showed you earlier tonight. Listen to the things that Kristen says, Jonathan says. You know, I'm the hostess, but I freestyle some on my own, and I'm pretty good at brainstorming with other people, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, I think this group has gotten as far as it's gotten. And one of the things that they came out with right off the bat with B.O.B. was they don't have a model. They don't even have a map. Tim Osman says it over and over and over again. Some of these people that make you think they're not with these troll groups absolutely are working with them. There's no doubt in my mind now. I've watched the convolution of some of these people and what they say one week and what happens the next. So trust nobody. Don't trust us. Don't trust us with, you know, not checking what we say. And you know, I reiterate at the end of the show that everything we've said has been speculation, our own viewpoints, showing you our research, showing you our dialoguing, and that's that. So, anybody have closing something to say?